Okay, so what I'm gonna, so I'm going to talk about today, we're gonna talk about different Torah values that we find underlying some of the famous laws of the Mishpatim about a ganav, a gazlan, tavach u'machar. Why are there different rules? The different penalties that the Torah has for different types of crimes. So some of them probably we're more familiar with. Hopefully we'll learn some that maybe we're less familiar with, which I think provides some insight as to some of the values of the Torah, at least according to different Mefarshim. So we're going to begin. We're going to read two psukim, and then we're going to discuss them. So this, the first pasuk is Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. And here the Torah says, the Torah says here, Ki Ganev, one second, I'm trying to make it bigger. Okay, so the pasuk here says, Ki Gnov Ish Shor Ose Utvacho O Mecharo, Chamisha Bakar Yishalim Tachas Ashor, V'ar Batzon Tachas Aser. So if you steal an ox or a sheep and you slaughter it or you sell it, so then there's a special penalty. So what's interesting is that sometimes when the Torah talks about a particular animal, it may give examples. And the question is the Torah just giving an example, or is the Torah saying, no, it only applies to these type of animals? So the Torah begins and says, well, let's say you steal an ox or a sheep, and you slaughter it and you sell it. So maybe the penalty is the same for a shor or a seh or any other animal as well. So the Torah says, no. Chamisha bakor yesham tachas ashor. You have to pay five times the value of the ox if you slaughter or sell it. V'arba tzon tachas aseh. I said, you have to pay four times the value of the sheep. So we have selling and slaughtering four and five times, for depending on whether it was a sheep or whether it was an ox. And then the other pasuk I want to see is Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Gimel, where the Torah talks about a thief, and the Torah says Himatzi Timasa B'yado Gneva Mishor Ad Chamor Ad Se. So if the item that was stolen is found. Whether we're talking about an ox or a donkey or a sheep, seems to be any animal, including a chamor here, so it's any animal, seemingly, chayim, alive. Shnayim mishalim, you pay double what we call kefil. So there are a number of things that I'd like to try to cover. So first of all, there's a greater punishment, as we know, this only applies to a ganav, someone who steals secretly, as opposed to someone who steals openly, a gazlan. There's greater punishment for tavach umachar. If you not only steal the animal, but you also sell it or slaughter it. There's also the punishment of slaughtering or selling only applies to the ox or the sheep. Doesn't apply to the donkey or any other animals. Question, why is that so? And also there's a greater punishment for the ox than the sheep. And there might be one other question we're going to address. We'll see if we have time. So some of these things, I'm sure some of you are familiar with some of the answers here to some of these questions. So let's start with the first one. Why is there greater punishment for the ganav than the gazlan? So what would you say? Someone?
Because he has no respect for God.
Okay, right. So the basic, the first answer, so I just want to point out, the first source I have here is Ibn Ezra, who says, Im himatze timatze, that's Perichal Beis Pasuk Gimel, he says explicitly what I just told you, is kol kol behema. But chacham kiblu gzeras kasu tashlumi arba v'chmisha b'shor v'sebovad. So the halacha four or five times only applies to an ox or a sheep, but the payment of double applies to any animal. Why is there greater punishment for the ganav than the gazlan? The ganav is someone who secretly steals, as opposed to someone who openly steals. So what Ben points out, the Mechilta, and the Mechilta says that in Mimatze Agana Mishalim Shnayim, Agana Mishalim Teshlume Kefel, the one who steals secretly, he pays double. Why? Hagazon Mishalim Teshlume Kefel, but the one who comes openly and comes to your door and sticks a gun in your face and says, give me your money, give me your property, he doesn't pay double. So Ma'arasa Torah Lahachmir Al Agav Yosef Migazon, why is the Torah seem to be more stringent on the thief who secretly steals than the violent person who comes to your house and steals? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Omer, Gazlan Hishva Kavod HaEved L'Kodo. So the Gazlan basically treats man and God equally, because he's not afraid to go, he's not afraid to steal. Like stealing, you're going against what God said, and you're also taking, and you're also you're also harming someone. So the Gazlan is not afraid of God. He's not afraid of a person. He'll go right up to his face and take his property. So at least in his crime, at least in his crime, he is not showing greater respect for man than for God. And the Ganav, though, he shows more honor to God's servant more than his master, kiviyachol, as it were. A Ganav also, it's a ayin shalmala kilo eno roa, v'sa ozen kilo eno shamas. The Ganav walks around basically saying that, you know, no one's really watching me, and I can do what I want. Yes. Yes, Evan?
Why the flowery language in Himarze Timarze? He could have just, as I said, Enimsa. Why the extra words? The Torah never uses extra words.
Well, yeah, I understand. Let me see. I don't know. I haven't seen what the Mefarshim say on this, Evan. I'm sorry. I'll try to look at it afterwards and show it to you, and I'll send it to you. So the first approach is something that I think many of us probably learned. That's the most popular approach. That basically the Torah says, it's interesting that if when you commit a crime, I guess there's a greater danger about someone who feels that God's not watching. If someone feels that, no, God is watching, but I don't care about God or man, then that's better than someone who cares about man, not of God. You can debate that point, but that's how Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai understands it. Can you think of another reason, perhaps, why the Ganav would pay more than the Gazlan? Again, and we're talking about a penalty payment. We're not talking about compensation. In other words, when would the Torah impose a fine on someone? In other words, why would the Torah impose a fine on someone, a penalty, because you're not simply have to compensate the person who you've, you know, taken their property, but you've acted badly, so we're going to make you pay more because you've acted badly. It's interesting.
It's the person doing it. Do it. So if you make the punishment different or more severe, it might limit people from being affected.
You're saying Geneva is easier to do than Gezela. Why is that? Why would you say that?
Because you do it in secret. You usually will get away with it.
Right. Okay. So the Rambam, a little bit different, but it's really along the lines of what Herbie said. The Rabban Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Aleph, has a different take on this. He says, "Anam Hiyos Gazlan Lo Yichud Lo Yisham Dover Nosef Al Tzad HaKnas." The Gazlan doesn't pay a penalty. He never pays a penalty. And he points out that, let's say someone swears falsely they stole something, that's not based on theft. That's based on the false Shavua. But if he says, why is the Gazlan not pay a penalty? The second line, "Bipnei miut mitzius hagezel." So he shenezek hagneva yoser nimtza min hagezel. So the reason is not because it's easier to steal, but I would say since it's easier to steal, as we'll see, therefore geneva is more common than gezela. So the Torah will impose a greater punishment. The Torah will impose a greater punishment to discourage more common behavior. Shegeneva efsher b'kol makom. That geneva can happen anywhere. Vagezel efsher b'tocha medina ikim b'koshi. It's much harder to openly steal from someone. Va'od shegeneva efsher b'dvar magluyim v'dvar hamutznayim. That with geneva you can do it with things that are easily found and things that are not found, that are hidden. Vagezel efsher el benigla. You can only steal things in the open. V'efsher la'adam li'shomer mi'en ha'gazlan v'lama k'negdo. A person can stand up against a gazlan. V'efsher k'edi megadav. He can't stand up against a gadav because he does it secretly. V'od she'a gazlan yadu'a v'yavukash v'yishtad lo'tzi miyadam ma'ashalokach v'gadav e'ni yadu'a. If I steal from you, if I'm a gazlan, you know where I live. So you can get the police and they can come to my house and they can, you know, arrest me. But if someone steals secretly, you don't know who the gadav is. So the Rambam basically is saying that the gadav essentially is it's easier, it's you can get away with it more. You don't know who the gadav is, and therefore, when the Torah is imposing a penalty, Torah is trying to discourage more common behavior. So the gadav is more common. It's not that. Wait, one second. So the mechilta for the mechilta. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying that the gadav is a worse person. In other words, it's a penalty because the gadav is a worse actor than the gazlan. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim is simply, the goal is deterrence. So we don't just simply willy-nilly impose penalties on someone. So we're only going to do it if we think that this is very common. And apparently to be a gadav is more common than a gazlan. Yes, Baruch.
If someone comes up with a gun, but he's wearing a mask, so that would be more like a gun.
Because you don't know. So again, right? So that's interesting, right? So that fits. So that would fit into some of the reasons, right? That's a good nafkamina. What's the real reason of the Mor Nevuchim, right? You're saying it's in general. Is a god of if a guy comes in a mask. Yeah, but he's still, it would seem, like, according to Yochanan ben Zakkai, he's still afraid of the guy. So he's still considered a god, presumably. Yeah.
COVID, right.
Okay. So that's a second. Any other possible reasons as to why maybe a god of would pay more than a gazlan? You got the first two. You got one more. At least I found one more. All right. I'll tell you. So this is the third approach. Rav Hirsch says the following. Says even isponein b'musagi ha-geneva v'gzela. If we consider the topics of geneva and gzela, v'chein b'tchunasama yichudit shel shvarim u'kvasim b'yachas l'musagi ba'ela, and also the characters of the singular character traits of the oxen and the sheep with respect to these topics, hare sheyisbaher lanu tamon shalachos e'ela. You can understand the reasons for these halachos. Gezel hu lekichas davar b'choska. Gezel, you're taking it by force, right? And geneva hi lekichas davar mirshus acher b'halama v'seiser. Geneva, as you're doing it in private. Agazlan shaleach yado el davar shalav shmiraso ha'ishit shal balav. So the gazlan basically stretches forth his head about something that basically on something that the personal protection of the owner. In other words, he's the owner is protecting something, and the gazlan basically he knows it's being protected. It's being protected by the owner, and nevertheless, the gazlan still steals it. Hagada motzi es adavar kshu mugan ayde shmir es achok haklalit. See, the ganav, though, the thief. So he finds something when it's protected, not by the owner, but by sort of, I would say, the general society, general laws. Gezel hu eifo pesha ragil. When you're a gazlan, so you're just being a regular criminal. Hapogeh bizchut habalut shel haprat. When you're a gazlan, you're going after me, right? If you're a gazlan, you're going after me. I'm at my house. I have my house. I have everything has been protected. And you're attacking me individually. You don't like me. You're attacking. You're just personally attacking me. But Gedeva, I guess what he feels that Gedeva he pesha kaful, that theft is a double crime. He pogas bizchut habalut shel prat, v'gam b'shmir nachok shel klal. So Rav Hirsch says that if you, when you do Gneva, you attack the ownership, the right of the individual, and societal protection. Because basically, it's, again, obviously if there's a serial, a serial bully goes in from one house to another house, maybe that might also apply. But generally speaking, if something's open and you're a Goslan, you're going after this one person. And I don't have to worry about the Goslan because he's going after this one guy. But a Ganav, he's going around town. He doesn't care. It's not targeted against one person. It's targeted against society. Kasher Yatza prat mi beso, hemidus chavtzav tachas chasut shmir achok shal klal. When I leave my house, so then I leave my property under the general protection of society. Very shmir achok zu, hu yisod yisod shal chavrat b'nei medina hamugodim b'igud mishpati. And this is what society, you know, we don't have to stay home all day. When we leave, we have a society, the foundation of our society that we're joined together in the judicial system, that we believe that if we leave our houses, we lock our doors, and then people won't steal from us, or if they will, they'll be caught. But Malcolm Shaba ain't lismuch al shmirat chok klalit zu ain't em yochol lahalim es einav mikomatatla filishar kala. If I believe that basically, you know, someone just goes into my house and steals my stuff, nothing will happen, then I can't leave my house ever. I guess Rav Hirsch is saying when someone is a Goslan, he goes up to another person openly, so that's a personal thing. A Ganav is basically society is unsafe. Lefich mishalim haganav tashlu, I guess that, or at least that's how it was back in the day. Lefich mishalim haganav tashlum lenignav. So therefore, the Ganav pays to the victim the value of the object that was stolen. Most of Tashim Boso Shir Atzmo Bavur Shinias is Ekron Shmir Sachoka Klalit Befogobo, and so he also pays for the crime that he committed against society. What Rav Hirsch is of the opinion is that the Gazlan is only attacking the ownership right of the individual. And the guy, and because it's generally personal, I go up to your face and I say, "Give me that." So just me against you. But the God of is just he's going around to different people. He's going around in secret, and that creates havoc in society. So you're going to pay number one to the victim, and then you're going to pay for what you did to society. Again, the person who receives it is the victim, but that's his approach. So we have three different approaches as to why the Ganav has a greater punishment than the Goslan, either because the Ganav cares more about man than God. The Rambam says the Ganav is more common, and refers to as it's an attack on society as opposed to the Goslan. Why is there a greater punishment for Tavach Umachar than Gneva? So what do you think about that? If you slaughter and you sell it, so
same reasoning. This is more different, you know, the whole thing with the animals, it's part of the garden. So if you could steal them easily and you can destroy the evidence, you're trying to stop people from doing it.
Right. Okay. So hello? Someone has another explanation?
I think that the moving gets further away from ever getting it back.
Right, and so I think it's sort of the same thing what Herbie said. The Rav Hirsch actually gives two different explanations. Rav Hirsch says that he cites the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and he says there are two different things. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, "Vipnei shenishtareish b'chet, dahainu ehanu masav," that you are rooted in sin, that he's benefiting from his actions. And Virak Ayudei Mechiro Tvicha Hevi Pisho Lidei Totza Kvua V'Objektivi. Okay, so one is that you've objectively changed the status of the object, of the animal. You can't get it back. And the second is Bibnei Sheshina Bechet. Dahan Bibnei Shemimchina Subjektivi Hu Chazar Ala Pesha. It's a second crime. So Rav Hirsch actually cites two different reasons. The first reason, he says, because man shechevet agarav nimtza lo shinoi bereshut agana. So the first reason is, as long as you just take it, but you haven't changed it, lo b'du abalim is chusam alav. So the owners haven't lost their rights to it. So that feel nishyashu, yimener lachar shenol lahem davar gneva. Even if they gave up, still, chayev agarav lachzir et agneva ben, you still have to return the stolen object. However, it says, first, once there's a shinoi kavua, there is a permanent change, Rishus Aganav, he shins as tivai, change the nature, either through tvicha, through slaughtering, that the or it's that he sells it to someone else. So then there are first rights, Hare Habalim Ibdu as Zechusa, that now the owners have lost their rights to it. And, right, Shahaya Kodim Balusam. They lose their rights to it more than before. They lose their rights to it more than before they owned it. V'lo nishar lahem elazchut hatviya l'tashem ha'ir. All they have left is to get the financial value. So one approach is what we mentioned, that once you do tavach u'machar, so then essentially you lose any possibility to return the object. It's permanently changed the status because the animal essentially has been destroyed. The second explanation is a little bit different. The Shishino Becheto, and that basically you simply committed a second crime. So the first crime you pay double, the second crime is again another double. So that's where first has two different explanations. So now, why is the punishment only with a sheep or an ox? Why would you think the punishment would only be with a sheep or an ox? Based on perhaps what we've said until now. Why would you think it would only be a sheep or an ox, maybe?
It could also be that it's a very useful item.
Right, exactly. In other words, if you ever steal an object, so when you steal an object, okay, so you have to pay for stealing the object double, any animal, anything that you do. Anything that you do, and you're a ganav, so you're a bad actor, you show less deference to God than to man, it's a common thing to steal, it's really anything. But when it comes to, tavach and machar, so why is it only a shor or a seh? Why only these two animals? So the Ram and the Morne Vuchim are first say that kol asher yemin aver v'chet yoser nimtza v'yoser karov lehasos, any type of sin that is more common and more easily done, roi sheyeh ancha yoser kasha kidei sheyimnu mimenu. Again, we need greater deterrence for a crime that can be done easily. And so, why do you think sheep and oxen can be stolen more easily than other animals? What?
They're
in the pasture. Yeah, so they're right. Shemin hagam hu, they're typically in the fields. The afshel shamram, and you can't guard them. They're typically in areas where they could be stolen much easier, and that's why the gonvim. That's why the thieves. What will they do? A thief will come in the dead of night or whatever. He'll come, he'll steal a sheep, he'll quickly sell it, and that's it. You know, it reminds me of, you know, when someone, they steal a car, and then they sell all the body parts, right? They sell all the auto parts. They take it apart, they sell it, they're done. It's over. So that's it. Or you can shecht it, so it changes form. So therefore, it's much easier to sell these, to steal and to sell these animals when they are in the fields. So the chamor, for example, the donkey, is not typically in the fields, and therefore it's not as common. This is both essentially what Rav Hirsch and the Rambam and Morne Vuchim both say. Now I have at least five reasons. We'll finish with five reasons why there's a greater punishment for the sheep than the ox. Okay, so we've explained so far. Number one, why the thief has greater punishment than the goslin. We've explained Why? There's a greater punishment for tavach u'machar, for slaughtering or selling, than stealing. We've explained why there's a greater punishment for tavach u'machar only by an ox or a sheep. Okay, now, let's see how many reasons we can get here. Why is there a greater punishment for an ox than a sheep? What would you say?
More important animal because it can
plow. Okay, so number one, it's a more important animal, right? The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Testament Beis. The mayor says, Bo re kama gadol koach shemalacha. Come and see how great is the power of work. Shor shebit lo mimlachto chamisha. The ox that basically, because of the ox, now you can't work anymore. So then it's, you pay five times. Says shelo bit lo mimlachto arba. It's only four times. What else? What's another reason?
You get more
kabbalas
out of a sheep than you get out of an ox.
That's true. Right? So you're saying it should be holier. Yeah, I didn't see that as a... So you're saying it should be more for a sheep, for a set.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Torah doesn't have that. So apparently that's not a winning argument. It's an interesting point.
But both Shor and Seh, you can give the problem. You can't give the problem to come up.
Right. But, okay, why else? So why else? We have four of the reasons. So what is? Shor is more used for work. So you have to pay more. It's more of a harm to the person. Why else? What?
The kosher animals.
No, but why more of a shore than a seh? That's what we're asking now. We know it. We already answered, Herbie. It was your answer. Shore and a seh, they're both, they're, to steal them is much more common than other animals. That's why we double it. But why is it five for the shore and four for the seh? So in the same... What?
The shore is the smut.
Right, so this is a very, very powerful idea. Again, this Gemara in Bava Kama in Testament Beis. Omer Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bore Kama Galo Kavod Abrios. Come and see how great Kavod Abrios is. Shor Shalach Baralav Chamisha, Sesher Kival Ksefo Arba. It's much harder to schlep a sheep that you have to put on your shoulder than an ox. So it's more difficult to steal a sheep than an ox. So therefore, you pay less for a sheep. We see kavod habrios, you know, the dignity of someone playing a role in limiting their penalty. Perhaps the message is, even for sinners, even people who are bad actors, there's value to their kavod habrios. It's an interesting point. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim writes in Perek Gimel, Perek Mem Aleph. So he says it's easier to steal, more common to steal cattle than sheep, because cattle are more dispersed than sheep. So it's easier to steal cattle. So again, greater deterrence. So that's why it's five as opposed to four. The Ibn Ezra says that he says it's harder. He gives one answer is because ki lo yuchal lahastir hashor kamo haseh. It's very difficult to hide an ox like a sheep. In other words, only an expert can hide lo yuchal laganva rak harogel yosir beumnus hagneva. Basically, to hide an ox which is larger, you need to be an expert. So the ox thief is a professional thief, more of a professional thief than the guy who's stealing sheep. And since he's a professional, we're going to make him pay more. The most interesting answer that I found, which is what we'll conclude with, is Rabbeinu Bachaye says, he says, Valderech HaMidrash, Ki ignov ish shor oseh utavacho omechoro. When a person steals an ox or a sheep and he slaughters it or sells it, lefish shor genavato vas Sinu Egel, an ox, you steal it, and we make it a calf. Okay, I guess when you leficha chamisha bakar yisham tachatz ashor. So, sorry.
What does it mean you make it a calf?
So I think what he's saying is that we're treating it like an egel. So he's saying, Shilemnu tachtav shemesu avosenu ala b'midbar, that basically they're connecting the sin of stealing a shore to the sin of the golden calf. Varbat son tachas aseh tachas shegonamnu liyosef. They're comparing the stealing of a sheep to selling Yosef, for which they went down 400 years. Arbamil chinam eshubadim mitzrayim mochel banu arbamalchios, and four kings ruled over us. So he wants to say like this: Ibnei shehisker mispar chamisha nearly ki chamisha onchim ki balnu alav tachas ashor. Because of the cheda egel, this shore, we received five punishments. Hariga b'sayef adei b'nei Levi, we were killed by the sword by Levi. Magefa adei kadosh baruch hu v'igol Hashem asam, so there was a plague. Horakas ponim adei Moshe niskaven lebot kam kesotos, Moshe wanted to treat them like sotos to see if they worship the egel. Churban beis hamigdash, and he brings a proof that the beis hamigdash was partially going to be destroyed for the sin. And then he says Kirvu Bekudos Ha'ir, and then he says Avion Pakti Vakati, and he says even though Kadosh Baruch Hu is not, then he says Hashem's going to remember the sin Poked Avon Avos. So he connects. So in other words, the four, if you steal a sheep, then you're sort of, it's like that Yosef is called the sheep. And therefore, stealing essentially. What? Right. Right. So, one second. Right, I think there's also a reference to Yosef being called a sheep. I think there's also, I know you're saying that he's also referred to the shore, but they're connecting the shore to the egel, where you have five punishments, and you have Yosef. I think Yosef is also referred to as a sheep as well. I have to see where that is. Sorry about that. And so that's the sale of Yosef. It's probably here, and I probably skipped out the part here. So that's just to remind you of these sins. But what we see from the different punishments is that a lot of these different laws about two times or four times or five times. So we see various values of the Torah. Number one is to deter. You're going to pay a penalty for crimes that are more easily committed, that occur on a more common basis, but not only that, that are more destructive to the owner, like if it harms your ability to work. But what's fascinating is some of the other things, where we're saying that if you're more scared of people than God, you're going to be punished. We also see that if you covet abrios, even for a thief, is important. So this is a good example how it's always good to sometimes look at the details of some of the mishpatim, and from those you can generate a lot of different values that the Torah holds very dear in keeping a society modeled after Kedusha. Okay, that's all I have for tonight.